right now, we're looking at a happiness course. Do you recall about 2 weeks ago, we hosted Dion Chang and we looked at the Flux Trends annual report, the state we are in. And during that conversation, Dion just triggered a curiosity about a Yale happiness course, which is one of the most popular, in fact. So Yale's beloved happiness class is now one of the is now on the internet and it's free. And they've been quite shocked as to the number of students that are signing up for this course. They're seeing massive enrollments, and it begs the question about, do we not know how to be happy? I don't know. I wonder, do we not know how to be happy? And the truth is that courses on happiness are cropping up everywhere, whether through MOOCs or at these Ivy League institutions, but fundamentally in the West. So in the UK, in the US, in parts of Europe, you have these courses cropping up everywhere. And maybe it's because of the kind of political upheaval we're all finding ourselves in wherever we are, and also the burgeoning discourse on mental health. It's become a big talking point, and the high pressure settings that university students particularly find themselves in. So perhaps that's why we are seeing them come up more and more. And I recalled a piece that I read in the trending section of the City Press some time back, where Greta Kemp did a happiness course over one of the festive seasons in recent years. So we invited her onto the show to talk to us about the 10-week happiness course that she did. Greta, lovely to have you on the show.
Lovely to be on, Rosanya. Thank you.
I remember that piece and thinking the same question about happiness and how is it difficult to attain it? Is it so difficult that we would need a course on how to live happier lives? So what led you, what was happening in your life? Because what led you to look it up and to take this happiness course?
Yeah, well, at the time I wrote it last year, it was like that weird limbo period between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, what a strange couple of days. Isn't it a strange week?
Right? Yeah, it's just you're in this weird period and, like, you don't really know what to do with yourself. And I just hit a bit of a slump, as I'm sure we all do. And I just decided to tackle something new in that period. And this caught my attention.
Yes, because you wonder, should I still be basking in the joys of Christmas, or should I be in focus mode because the new year's almost here?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's quite a depressing time, actually.
So you then turned to these massive open online courses, what we also call MOOCs. So what did you find? Yes. Why did you settle on the happiness course? Yes.
So what's interesting about what they call the science of happiness is that there are thousands of institutions and researchers and doctors and big pharma studying what makes us depressed and studying depression and how to overcome it and all of that. But the Berkeley Greater Good Science Center is the only academic institution in the world that studies what makes us happy. And they found that there's actual scientifically backed things that make human beings happy. So I was just interested in learning what those are and if I could apply them and to make myself happier.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So yeah. This is informed by science.
Yes. Interestingly enough, yeah, it's backed by proper academic research.
And what is the overarching or fundamental understanding of what happiness is and what needs to happen to be able to cultivate happiness?
Yes. So from everything I learned, there was two things that seemed to be the most important things to be happy. The first is that forming social connections. Mm-hmm. So human beings, we aren't made to be alone. Our happiness is inextricably linked to connecting with other people. And, you know, that can be from family members to friends to colleagues to knowing your neighbors. They found that people who know their neighbors are happier. Mm-hmm. You know, and also, you know, you say, why are we looking for these courses now? It's because we've, especially in the suburbs, we've become so detached from each other. We don't know our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And the more social connections you make, the happier you become. The second very important factor was feeling like you're contributing to something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not necessarily, I don't know, working for a charity or whatever. It's just engaging in a project, whether it be spiritual or humanitarian, that makes you think that it's, you're not just, that you're doing something bigger for the mm-hmm. world. Yeah.
So those are the main pillars.
Findings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, now my mind is racing because the reason why I asked earlier on about, gosh, have we forgotten, don't we know how to cultivate happiness, is because in my head I'm thinking we're a developing country, you know, we're South Africans and we have this whole Ubuntu, I am because you are, and so on. And that, yes, maybe this is a problem of individualistic societies and that we're still largely very communal, you know. But now when you say that, well, people can be isolated in the complexes that we live in the suburbs that we live in. And yes, not many of us know our neighbors, something as simple as that. Not many of us are, say, close to family. Family maybe is in another province, or we're not spending as much time. Even what we deem to be socializing has changed. Mm-hmm. And what is the quality of that connection in that socializing? So, did it, doing the course, was that a trigger in seeing your surroundings differently and being able to pick up, oh, that's why, or that feeds the feelings of aloneness, perhaps? Or did it kind of make you look at your surroundings differently?
Yeah. Look, I can't say, you know, this is a silver bullet, quick fix, do this course in 10 weeks and you'll be happier. And we all know there's genetic factors to mental health, mm-hmm. depression, et cetera. But it did actually... It changed the way I look at the world, definitely. And as an introvert who struggles with reaching out to people, I realized this is not just a nice thing to do. This is actually very integral. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that completely demonizes social media, saying, look at what it's doing to the kids. No one talks to each other anymore. You can use social media as a tool, but as long as you use it to... make plans to connect in real life.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
It's definitely a very valuable thing, and it's free online.
So what you've just said, as you said, it's integral. So it's key to our very survival. It's not a nice to have, like you said, but having these social connections is key to just our survival.
Yeah. I mean, it's an evolutionary thing, because if you think of a baby, in the prehistoric ages, if that baby wasn't raised in a village where there was protection and a lot of people looking out for him, the baby wouldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
So now, yes, you can raise children on your own, but it's not like it's better. Yeah, evolutionary, we're made to. Connect with each other.
Yes. And you think of how isolated our children are away from school, particularly. You know, they grow up in homes. They don't play as much as they did in the streets, and so on. But Greta, we're going to unpack this some more. But I'm taking calls as well. I want to know what happiness really means and why it matters to you, and how do you cultivate happiness? Is it about the social connections? Is the science right? As Greta has expanded, that they found that social connections are important to our very survival, that we end up feeling tied and being part of something bigger than ourselves. So how do you cultivate happiness? 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. And what does happiness really mean? And during those times when you have found yourself unhappy, were you able to pinpoint what those causes were? Was it because you had been traveling for long and didn't maybe have the kind of connection that kept you feeling connected and plugged into life, broadly speaking? Maybe it was after the end or after a divorce and you were on your own, or after a social, leaving a particular social circle, and the coming back or reestablishing those ties, did that help to foster a feeling of happiness? So I want your thoughts as well, listening to Greta's experience. What goes through your mind on happiness? So 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. Lee Maimela on Twitter says, I found that focusing on gratitude helps me during times when I feel unhappy. I focus on what I do have and it helps a lot. What about this aspect of gratitude? Is there a science that links gratitude to happiness?
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, that was actually one of their findings, is people that are more grateful are happier. And one very valuable thing that I learned is to start a gratitude journal. I know this sounds very Oprah Winfrey-esque, but
I leave Oprah alone. Oprah is our mother.
Yes, she is. I love her. Love her. And I think she also mentioned something like that. So you see, she is a guru. But yeah, so every day just writing, even the smallest thing that you're happy about. Like I remember she wrote that her neighbor bought her a beautiful basket full of lemons that he picked from the garden, and that was the thing that she was grateful that day.
Yes.
So doing an exercise, simple exercise like that, could actually increase your happiness.
So you talked about being an introvert, and the MOOCs also ask of the students to do something practical, their practical lessons beyond just understanding the science. And reaching out to people is difficult. It's not very easy.
Yeah.
It's not very easy. Did you find that hard?
Yeah, I think as an introvert, I'm not saying you should now become the social butterfly, but if you, you know, as introverts, you know, you have your handful of very close friends that you trust, just, you know, strengthening your connections with those people that you are comfortable around. And, you know, but also it's never a bad thing to, like, push yourself a little bit. Being a little bit uncomfortable sometimes isn't a bad thing. So, yeah, trying to be a little bit more outgoing in a group and stuff like that. It's valuable.
Yes. I'm over 40. I don't think I can make new friends.
I know. It's scary.
Where do you start?
new friends.
Yes, let's hear from Bongani calling from Midrand. Hello, Bongani.
How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm okay. I seem not to find happiness. I have everything that every person can desire. You know, a lovely house, cars, nice job, nice salary. But certain things have happened in my life, and I cannot seem not to to move away from those things. Every 10 or 20 minutes, it will come back. I tried so many things. It seems like I ask myself, how do I make myself happy? The person that I love, I don't trust her at all. She's lied to me so many times. So I ask myself, how do I find happiness?
Yeah.
And I love this person. You know, I love this person. I feel like my life revolves around this person. And if I could, I would take this person out of my heart. If possibly, I would. If there was a way I could do it, please, I need that way.
Yes.
Because it seems like I am not happy. You know, people look at me and say, wow, you drive a nice car. Wow, you stay in a nice house. Oh, you got a beautiful wife. At the end of the day, I am not happy. How do I, or maybe...
Have you looked at how you've defined what happiness is to you and what it is you need to do to cultivate it? Because, Greta, I'm sure you can expand on this, because you include the fact that once we reach a particular level of material access and material wealth, the happiness starts to stagnate. Yes, it just plateaus, you know. So we can't then say that money will make me happy, because it is limited. Its ability to make you, to make you happy, the material things that you have, money and all of that, it reaches a particular point where it stops giving you happiness. So that's why I asked Bongani about how you've defined happiness, and maybe this could be the kind of trigger you need to go on a self-discovery, a self-awareness awareness journey together, maybe with your partner, where you can become spiritual partners and not just partners in a ring on your finger and being called Mrs. So-and-so, but that you start to cultivate a spiritual partnership, which often we don't really look at. We don't get into relationships with that in mind, about how do we help each other grow? How do we help each other be better people? You know, we think it'll just be automatic.
I wish there was something, because when I say I'm happy, it's when I see when she smiles and when she's happy. When I see my kids around, when they are happy, you know, I've tried to move out of the house and leave the house. When I'm there, outside there, I left the house, I think, about 2 months. But eventually it came to me and said, actually my heart just said, I'm not happy wherever I am. I need to be happy in the house. When I'm in the house, I think of the things that she's done to me. And then eventually, automatically shut off.
You need to go on a journey. You need to talk to someone. You need to open those doors that you're afraid to confront. And that's just, you know, my view based on, say, my own experience or what I've come to learn over the years. It's by no means a professional opinion at all. But I think it's important that you respond to this feeling of unhappiness and interrogate it a lot more than what you have been willing to, because the narrative in your head keeps you spiraling in the same place. So you need to read the books that will help you to understand it better. You need to speak to someone who will ask you the kind of questions that will take you to a better place, because that voice in your head is just keeping you in the same place, replaying the same story, the same tape over and over again.
Over and over.
So you need to stop the tape. You need to stop the tape and go and live life, you know.
Wow, where do I start? Because I've tried to live my life. You know, I haven't got it. I've tried and dated people outside. Mind you, I don't even get, I'm just waiting people's away, hating people out
Yes. You know,
I don't get that thing of joy. I even thought of maybe she wished, you know, I went to Sangoma to try to understand what's happening. I'm trying to leave this person, but my heart keeps on going back to the same person. You love this person. Yes, I love this person. But at the end of the day, when I think of the things that she's done to me, you know, it comes back, that thing says, this person has done 1, 2, 3 on you. Okay, fine, I'll forgive that person. But there are certain things that remind me, like, for instance, the way she works. You know, certain things have happened at her work. When she goes to work, my heart automatically, better if maybe she has dated someone out of work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Maybe it would be better that they don't see each other. Even though she can say, no, you were friends, but the things that I've seen on her phone and all those things, you know, trust is gone.
All right. So, no, I get you, Bongan. I see. I think I get the gist of what you are saying, but then you need to also work on yourself. It's not going to be outside of you. It needs to start with you. So, saying if it's...
I want to be happy, honestly. You know, this thing has also transferred to my kids.
Yeah, it's an unhappy home.
The anger and the level of anger my kids have picked up. Sometimes, you know, instead of being talking to my kids, well, I'll be so angry. They didn't do anything to me.
Yes. You know what, Bongani, how about you stay on the line, right, and give my producer your email address? And what I will do is send you some of the resources that I've come across, and maybe even share the name of a professional that I particularly trust. But it's hard work. It's long work. It's not the kind of thing that'll happen overnight. So your impatience of saying how, where, and it can't be overnight. It's not overnight. So just stay on the line. I'm passing you over to my producer, and let's exchange a couple of these details. And maybe he needs to take a MOOC, Greta. So we couldn't wrap up on time. So let's conclude our conversation after the headlines. I'll get Greta's views on, you know, the material side of things, because can money make you happy? Is it external, ultimately? Is it about what people do in the outside world? It's a journey that I think Bongani has to ultimately go on himself. He has to be the partner, the right person for himself in order for him to be the right person for somebody else. Anyway, woo, that feels like the woo stuff. Azania Mosaka on 702. It's 23 minutes to 3 o'clock. Gosh, what a call from Bongani. And it I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time with him. Greta, just your quick thoughts on what he had to say, especially about what you discovered on this journey.
Yeah, sure. I wish I was a relationship expert. But sounds to me that maybe he's in a bit of a toxic relationship and defining his happiness through somebody else. You know, it's not an easy thing. And I hope he can go on a journey to get through it.
Yes, but as I was saying earlier, the research also suggests, even through the Berkeley course that you did, that there is a limit to material happiness. Can money make you happy? Or is the answer up to a certain point?
Yes. So, you know, obviously if you make money, if you can't meet your physical needs and you make more money and you're able to have a house and a roof over your head and water and electricity, yes, it does make you happier. But there's actually a figure, $75,000 salary a year, which is about a 900,000 rand a year. Anything higher than that, your happiness sort of plateaus. It doesn't get incrementally higher the more money you make. So, yes and no, money, it helps, but it's not going to make you happier the more you make over a certain figure.
And then the big one, Greta, are you happier?
Yes, I am happier, but that's also various things that I've done in my life. I've started my master's now. I've started exercising, and I just want to tell everyone that it's hard.
It is.
Don't feel bad if you're not happy, or you find that you feel like everyone around you looks so happy and positive, and why is it not working for you? It's a journey, and
It is hard.
It's something to work on.
Yes.
Yeah.
We work on it every day. Well, Greta, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Azania.
That's Greta Kemp, the editor for Trending at the City Press. That's the supplement that comes with the newspaper. Let's go to Sharia. Sharia, you've been listening in to this conversation. You also want to talk about happiness,
Azania,
and choice.
Wonderful show as always. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. I think Bongani has it all wrong. You know, in life, in order for you to be happy, you have to choose to be happy. And there's a classic saying, never depend your happiness on something that you might lose. So he lost his partner, or is having problems with the partner, and in the end, he's not happy. Mm-hmm. There's another saying that says, you know, that happiness has to come from him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put your happiness in someone else's pocket.
Yeah.
You have to choose to be happy on your own. I'm always happy almost all the time because I choose to be happy. And sometimes happiness comes from the simple things in life that are priceless.
Yes, you
I'm
stop.
I'm going to end my thought.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, Sharia, you're so right. You stop, take a look at that bird for a moment, get lost in watching it fly. The simplest, like the most, what you would think are just inane, pointless
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Yeah, happiness that comes from material things is temporary.
Yeah.
Some people are very rich in the world, but they're not happy.
Yes.
I'm going to end my line of thought in saying there's another quote, very important quote. It says, happiness is a choice, not a result. Nothing will make you happy until you choose to be happy. Yeah. No person will make you happy unless you decide to be happy. Your happiness will not come to you. It can only come from you.
Absolutely, Sharia. Thank you for that wonderful call. A WhatsApp says, for me, happiness is balance, knowing that I can be happy by deciding to be happy right now without external influence. And I think that captures all the different elements that we had been talking about. So maybe a MOOC is one of the things that Bongani needs to do, but he also needs to change his diet, the diet of what he consumes and what he's telling himself and the story that he's bought into. He needs to disinvest from the story that he has bought into. So we'll watch this journey. I'm going to correspond with him and see where and what can come out of this process. There's already a WhatsApp requesting to be hooked up to Bongani. Someone wants us to link them with Bongani. So you can send me those details, azani@702.co.za, and we'll facilitate the connection.